A coronation is a solemn event, isn't it? Show me a Republican and I'll show you a person without tear ducts. Yes, last week's episode came to a triumphant, reaffirming conclusion. Well, nearly. An almost king almost sat upon a newly tarted up throne in a city at the end of its tether. But who runs the show in Ankh-Morpork? Lord Vetinari is in his own dungeon, the Supreme Grand Master is out of his tree, and there's a dragon in the rafters with the ability to turn your body or the bodies of any number of your closest friends into piles of ash small enough not to trouble the most avid of anti-smokers. I repeat, who makes the decisions in a city where power is measured in degrees Celsius? Could I suggest to you that even now, at this 11th hour, from this anarchy and violence, from this debauched, lost and morally repugnant pile of rubble, some goodness may yet flower? Could I? Oh, all right, have it your own way.
God's Guards, a Discworld novel from the pen of Terry Pratchett. Rendered into dramatic form by Michael Butt. With Martin Jarvis as the narrator. John Wood as Captain Vimes. Melvin Hayes as Nobby. Stephen Thorne as Sergeant Colon. And Death as himself. Episode 5.
Vimes, you idiot! How could you have been so stupid?
I don't know. I thought it was a dragon.
It was a raven. You know what ravens are?
Even the mist, the size. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, and look what you've done to that poor old fellow, Mr. Greekling, head of the Teachers Guild. You know how loud noises affect him.
Look, I said I'm sorry. It was an honest mistake.
I've had to hold up the procession. The whole coronation is late because you imagine there are dragons everywhere.
No, I'll go back to the yard.
Don't bother. Go anywhere your fancy takes you. But I'll have your badge.
My badge?
That's what I said. I intend to keep you out of trouble.
But it's my badge.
It was your badge. Vimes. Vimes.
Sergeant Colon and the men of the Night Watch were up on the parapet around the Temple of Small Gods. Nobby was feeling satirical.
Find yourself in a high place, says Captain Vimes. It's not right, Sarge.
Shut up, Nobby. There's a good boy.
Keep your eyes open, says Captain Vimes. Oh, stuff it.
Where's Carrot?
And it's a game of soldiers. Your bum, this up stick.
Carrot?
I mean, what are we supposed to be able to see in this fogging fog, eh?
I'm over here, Sergeant.
If you don't tie a knot in your lamentations, Nobs, I'm going to kick you off this roof. All right, old son.
Sergeant?
I was just checking.
He was checking. You hadn't been at yet.
No, Sergeant. I haven't been at yet.
Oh, good, we're all right then. Apart from being stuck up on a roof in the fog when we can be down below enjoying ourselves. Cup of tea, Nigel.
They'll be crowning him now. If that dragon's alive, it'll have got the hell away from here, I'm telling you. Me, I'm having a sit down.
You're right. I mean, a city's not the right sort of place for a dragon.
Yeah, they've flown off somewhere. Somewhere there's high places and plenty to eat.
Somewhere like a city, you mean?
Wind's getting up now.
Then it'll blow this fog away, won't it? That's all right. Now, what was I saying?
You were saying as how the dragon must be miles away.
Yeah, put it this way. If I could fly, I wouldn't be sitting around here on a broken statue on a manky old roof, would I? I mean, would I?
What statue?
The old statue I'm sitting on, Nobby. And please do me a favour. Don't insult me with these childish attempts to frighten me.
Last month, the roof on this place was re-leaded, and all the statues was taken down.
Then what am I sitting on?
Carrot!
The ceremony of the clearing of the desk. After 20 years as a member of the Watch, net result, one scrap of paper, on which is written, in Sergeant Colon's hand, "You owe the tea kitty sixpence." Angry. I may be angry now, but later I'll be furious. And drunk too. Not yet. Hey, Errol, not yet. What is it? Are you sick? Oh, we haven't fed you right, have we, poor little dragon? I paid no attention to your diet. And so what have you been eating? Fag ash and armour polish, cold pizzas and coal. I'm sorry, boy. Oh, what is it? Oh, dear me. Would you look at that? Isn't that a shame now? Now, where did I put my helmet? Fancy that old dragon coming back.
The dragon flew slowly, only a few feet above the ground, wings sculling gracefully through the air. The flags that crisscrossed the street were caught up and snapped like so much cobweb. It flew with head and neck fully extended, as if the great body was being towed like a barge. It should have come roaring, not like this, not slowly and deliberately, giving terror time to mature. It should have come threatening, not promising, not flying gently to the accompaniment of the zip and zing of merry bunting.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Throat, what are you doing here? Why haven't you run off with the others? Not frightened of dragons?
I'm picking up me wares. Ruddy people knock me tray flying.
Tell me, Throat, have you noticed the dragon sitting over there?
It's me livelihood.
If he breathes on you, Throat, it'll be your deathlihood.
Oh, very good, Captain. If it's all the same to you, I'll just pick these burgers up.
Go away.
Ah, well,
go away.
All right.
Now then. You've said enough what you want from us, I think.
Yes, you'll soon let us know, won't you?
Who are you? And what the hell are you doing here?
Mustn't swear. It's rude. Where's the king?
You must go home.
I've come to see the king. Where's he gone?
I think he's gone for a lie down.
Is he tired?
Very. Now go.
Are you a watchman?
Yes. No.
My auntie says I shouldn't talk to watchmen. She says they're a drain on public spending and a waste of space.
She's right. Now go.
My auntie says if I'm naughty, she'll tie me to a chimney and call the dragon to eat me. Did you know the dragon eats you from the legs up so you can see what it's doing? It crunches all your bones and sucks out the marrow inside them, and then it drinks your blood. It saves your eyeballs till last, which it pops in like gobstoppers and sucks them till they change colour. My auntie says it likes doing that.
Well, it's nice to know your auntie's bringing you up well within the best child-rearing practices of Ankh-Morpork, Pork, little girl. And if I could add to those, if you don't scarper in 2 seconds, I'm going to slap you round the ears till your head rings. Now go!
Ask no questions, tell no lies, I saw what...
Go! So much for community policing.
However, time we meet, a dragon turns up.
Lady Ramkin, Sybil.
It's a bit like having your own tune.
I'm most unhappy about your being here.
Oh, does he want me to go away after all we've been through together?
We've been through nothing. And
you can say what you like, he's a magnificent specimen.
Oh. But why is it just sitting there? I feel it's waiting for something. Now, who the hell is that?
It's that priest fellow, isn't it? Harmonious something or other.
What does he think he's doing?
I'd say he was trying to save his own life, wouldn't you think?
He seems to be holding the crown up to the dragon.
Oh, yes. Dragons love gold.
Does it have to be real gold?
Oh, dear.
The temperature of the thing. Now what?
More would-be survivors?
It's once. That's once down there.
He's hoping to reach the cover of that wall.
Help me, someone.
No, I didn't think he'd make it.
No, help!
The dragon hasn't flamed him. Why not? Just picked him up and... Good grief, he's taking him back to the palace. To Lord Vetinari's palace. Or what used to be Lord Vetinari's palace. Come to think of it, what used to be the king's palace. Wow! See that? Straight through the gates. Oh, this is wonderful.
Captain, What on earth's the matter?
Don't you see? Aunt Moorpork has a king. Not the king we bargained for, but the king we deserved. Hooray! Put out the flags, blow the cymbals.
Please, Captain.
Roast the horns. That dragon has all the qualifications, so why not? It's noble, it doesn't carry money, it doesn't reply to public criticism, and it can solve all sorts of problems, like the inner cities. It'll torch them to the bedrock. And the people will take him to their hearts. Hip hip hooray! God save the king. Long live the king.
In his dungeon, Lord Vetinari, former patrician of the city, was shaving, squinting into a scrap of mirror propped against the pillar to catch the light. Well, actually, not propped, but supported, in fact, by a rat. It was a large rat with red eyes.
A little hungry, Scamp.
By order, it said. By order. I mean, what kind of invitation is that?
Mine was the same.
Order.
Shut it, Winnie, will you? There's a love.
I'm a busy man. I've got deals to...
And I've got a backlog of murders to carry out, and no doubt...
I'm up to here with requests for burglaries. I've got quotas.
And lunch. I mean lunch with a drag. Mr. Wants, my pleasure.
Good. You're all here.
Mr. Wants, just before we go in, perhaps you could let us know any shorthand on form today. Who's in, I mean...
I don't.
I'm saying, where is the clever money? What's the feeling of the meeting?
Oh, you want an inside tip, do you?
I think we understand each other.
One word?
Yes?
Survive.
Survive?
The name of the game. You're sweating. Surely you don't think that lunch with a dragon means that you're going to be eaten, do you? No, you're much too stringy. Shall we go in?
Captain Vimes and Lady Ramkin were at that moment leaning over the reinforced bunker that was one of her ladyship's sickbay pens. It had to be reinforced. Usually one of the first things a sick dragon did was lose control of its digestive processes.
Well? What do you think?
I'm damned if I know what's wrong with him.
You know what I think? You told me that dragons can rearrange their digestive systems, right?
Yes, they can hook up their stomachs in various permutations.
And they take advantage of whatever they can find.
To make flame, yes. You mean...
That's what he's doing.
But why should he?
Because he wants to challenge the big dragon.
No, I can't go along with that.
Every time that dragon takes to the air, Errol starts whining. And all this time he's eating absolutely indiscriminately. He's stocking up. He's arming himself. Anyway, that's why I want him to stay with you now.
Oh.
I can't look after him properly. Not now.
Aren't you being a bit silly about all this?
Am I? I was sacked in front of all those people. Is that silly?
Oh, just a misunderstanding, surely.
I didn't misunderstand it.
Oh, you're just upset because...
What?
Because you can't... Because you haven't managed to do anything to stop that old dragon.
Upset, did you say? As a matter of fact, Sybil, I am not upset. I think this damn city and the dragon deserve one another.
But people are frightened. You can't expect much of people when they're so frightened. Not everyone's as brave as you.
What?
The other day, when you stopped those men killing my dragons.
Oh.
That was bravery.
Was it?
I thought so. Oh, by the way, the Duke of Stowheelit is looking for a guard captain. I could write a letter for you, if you like. Well, they're very nice people.
Well, thanks. I'm uncertain as to my immediate future. As a matter of fact, I'm considering one or two offers right now, but...
As you see fit, of course. Well, then.
Well...
Well, no doubt you'll be wanting to go now.
Yes, I expect I will... I'd just like to say...
Please, don't.
What?
Don't say. There's too much saying.
Oh, I'll be off then.
Yes. Can't keep all those offers waiting, can you?
I'll...
Do call again if ever you happen to find yourself in this area. I've no doubt at all that Errol would be pleased to see you.
Well then...
Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye. I'm not going to look back. That would be a most stupid thing to do, even if she is standing there. Even if she watches me as I walk down the entire street. For sometimes a man must just walk away. Sometimes it is necessary to be cruel in order to be... Oh, bloody hell.
The great hall had changed. The floor was a mass of rubble, except in the middle of the room, which was a heap of gold. But the councillors were not in a position to pay much attention to this because of what was hanging above their heads. It looked like the biggest badly rolled cigar in the universe. If the biggest badly rolled cigar in the universe was in the habit of hanging upside down, two talons could be dimly seen gripping the dark rafters.
Your first course, soup with dumplings. You may start.
You aren't joining us, Mr. Wilkes?
No. There are certain matters of decree to which the king feels your assent would be welcome. Welcome, but not vital. Is the soup good? The king graciously desires it to be known that he would be pleased to receive coronation gifts from the people. These gifts, precious metals, gems and the like, he wishes to stress are to be made entirely voluntarily, the idea of compulsion being quite against the king's nature. Why, my lord merchant, we thank you. Ah, chief thief, thank you. Chief Assassin, your gift is wholly unexpected. We are grateful. Oh, your second course, gentlemen. Fat pork, beans and floury potatoes.
Why, Mr. Wilkes, you'll make lard barrels of us all.
Yes. Bon appétit. Which brings me to a matter of some delicacy. I am referring to the question of the king's diet.
Diet? How often is the king hungry?
All the time. But he eats once a month. Really, it's a ceremonial occasion.
Yes, it would be.
May I share something with you?
Yes.
The whole essence of the king's feeling is that when he feeds, the act of feeding is to be a bonding between him and his subjects.
Ah.
And the precise nature of the meal.
Virgins. One a month. Anyone for pudding?
Oh, no, I don't think I...
Chocolate? Punch?
No, I seem to have had my fill once.
Me too.
A mint?
I liked the captain. And I'm sorry he's gone.
Carrot, you have a real gift for saying out loud those things that other people would be too embarrassed to say on the grounds that they were too bloody obvious.
I say what I think. As a matter of fact, I miss Errol as well as the captain.
Oh. Oh, do you? You belong to the captain. Anyway.
Anyway what?
Well, we couldn't keep him here. We couldn't leave anything around. I mean, he even drank the lamp oil.
And mothballs. And the sugar. He was a little devil for the sugar.
It's not right, is it? I mean, be honest. You can't keep a pet where you have to jump behind a chair every time he burps.
Well, I, for one, will miss his little face.
You great softy. Isn't he, Nobby? Nobby!
Sarge?
Private Carrot, if you could stem your tears for just a moment. The door.
Right, Sergeant. Yes!
Well, I'm not Captain Vimes anymore. I'm something else. Citizen Vimes. And I claim my rights as a citizen of the city of Ankh-Morpork. I claim my rights. Principally to stand aside as everything gets worse and tell myself I never noticed it happening. But I can't. I want my job back. I want to catch that dragon, and most of all to get my hands on whoever is behind this. I remember... No, what was it? Anyway, it's flamed a house in Bitwash Street, just like the other ones.
Bitwash Street. Any of them get out?
Any of who?
The people in the house. I assume there were people in it at night.
It was once.
Yes?
I've brung you a proclamation.
Oh, have you? With no free papers, no hawkers, no circulars, thank you.
I'm gone from the palace. You shouldn't do that to the palace guard, you know. It's shutting the door on the king's wrist.
As I live and breathe. Scully Motoo.
Hello, Robbie.
You used to live in Mincy Street, didn't you? And your mum made cough sweets and fell in the mixture and died.
I have here a proclamation.
I never have a cough sweet, but I think of your old mum.
That will do, Nobby. This is from the palace.
Oh, yeah.
Which you are commanded to read and post up on street corners by order.
Here, I'll have that. Whereas it hath pleased the dragon, king of kings and absolute ruler, for the palace. Hey? Well, that's not right, is it?
What's it say?
It's going to eat someone.
Who?
The dragon.
No, I mean...
A virgin. People won't stand for it.
No.
They won't, you know.
Post it, right?
What's a virgin?
Carrot, shut up, eh? There's a good boy.
The dragon swooped leisurely back and forth over the nighttime city, barely flapping its wings. It didn't need to. The thermals from the fires were giving it the lift it needed. Some fought the fires, but many other citizens of Ankh Morpork fled the city and headed out across the chilly, mist-wreathed plains. Though not for long, the dragon, looping and curving gracefully above the devastation, glided out over the walls. Observers saw fire stab down through the mists. The tide of escaping humanity turned and flowed back, with the dragon hovering over it like a sheepdog.
What do we do now?
Oh, I wish Captain Vimes was here.
I wish Captain Vimes was here. He wouldn't know what to do either, but he's got a better way of talking about it.
I wonder who it'll be.
What?
The sacrifice, I mean.
Sergeant said people wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. I mean, if you were to say to people, what's it to be? Either your house burned down around you, or some girl you've probably never even met being eaten. Well, they might just get a bit thoughtful. I mean, human nature, see?
Well, I'm sure a hero will turn up in time with some sort of new weapon or something and strike the dragon at his vulnerable spot.
What's one of them?
A spot where it's vulnerable. My granddad used to tell me stories about dragons. Hit a dragon in its vulnerables, he used to say, and you've killed it.
What, like kicking it in the what's-names?
I suppose so.
And where is this spot?
It varies. It's a different place on each dragon.
Well, it's a lot of use, isn't it?
You wait till it flies over, and then you say, there's the vulnerable spot, and you kill it.
But where is it?
Sergeant, you used to win prizes for archery, didn't you, when you was in the army?
So?
Well, you said you had a lucky arrow.
Now then.
No, listen.
It's not the same thing, is it?
What?
Well, I'm no hero, all right.
They pay you $70 a month.
The answer is no. I'm not going alone.
Hey?
I'm not standing on a roof shooting arrows at a dragon on me own.
What can I do? I wouldn't be any use.
Oh, yes, you would. You know all about vulnerables. I've watched you fight.
Permission to volunteer, Sergeant.
Accepted. Nobby?
You'll be a hero. They'll carry you in triumph on their shoulders.
Or in an urn.
What we need is a plan.
Nobby was right. Detectoring plays havoc with the bladder. Particularly when it takes the form of hiding and waiting, sober and alone. He will come. And when he does...
Lupine Wants padded along the drafty corridors to the patrician's bedroom. It had never been a sumptuous apartment. It looked even worse now, with one wall gone. Even so, he shut the door behind him for a semblance of privacy. Then, cautiously, and with many nervous glances at the great space beyond, he knelt down in the centre of the floor and prized up a board.
It must be here.
Looking for this book, are you, Wants?
Ah, Vimes.
Under the floorboards?
Clever of you to guess.
Well, not very original.
I mean about the book. I don't suppose he thought anyone would be searching for it.
Sorry.
Vetinari, I mean, having called the dragon and then finding he couldn't control it, he needed to cover his tracks.
So why were you looking
well,
for it?
Well, I wondered if it might be possible to reverse the spell or maybe call up another dragon to fight the first one. What do you think?
I see what you mean. A sort of balance of terror?
It could be worth a try. What else can we do?
It must have been terrible for him. Vetinari, I mean.
Oh, yes. He's terrible.
I mean, imagine his state of mind, having summoned the dragon to find that it wasn't just some kind of tool, but a creature with a mind of its own. A mind just like his, in fact, but with all the brakes off, eh?
Yes.
Ye gods, I'd like to get my hands on him and wring his neck. All these years I've known him and never realised.
Run.
What?
I want to see you run.
I don't understand.
I saw someone run away. That night the dragon flamed that house. Then the other day I saw you running from that dragon. It was the same man. Any of them get out once?
That's ridiculous. That's not proof.
Of course it's not. What difference would it make if I had proof? There'd be no one to take it to.
Listen, Vimes, I'll give you your job back.
You couldn't do that.
I can. And there'd be no need to remain at the rank of captain, neither.
I said you can't give me my job back because it was never yours to take away. I wasn't an officer of the city, nor of the king. I was an officer of the law. The law, which God knows may be corrupted, but was still the law. Now, there's no law except cross me and you'll be burnt.
Vimes, I need you to help. Help me. Look, together we may destroy the dragon. Now listen to me.
The dragon's here. You can't persuade it. You can't negotiate with it. What are you going to do here? There's no truce with dragons. None at all. You brought it here and we're stuck with it, you stupid bastard.
Yes. It's the trouble with your sort, Vimes. Anything that's designed to improve the lot of mankind, you're opposed to. Oh, yes, you're full of speeches about what you don't like, but you have no plans of your own. Well, now you're finished, Vimes. Finished. Guards. Guards.
Narrator, Martin Jarvis. Captain Vimes, John Wood. Corporal Nobby Nobbs, Melvin Hayes. Sergeant Colon, Stephen Thorne. Carrot, Robert Gwillin. Lady Ramkin, Helen Atkinson Wood. Chief Merchant, Jeff Nuttall. Librarian, Michael Roberts. Supreme Grand Master, Brett Usher. Lord Vetinari, Crawford Logan. Little Girl, Kate McEnery. Other parts, members of the cast. Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett was dramatized for radio by Michael Butt and directed by John Taylor.